I just want you to know that I'm sorry.
What's up, everyone?
Welcome back to our 8th episode of Unhinged Memoirs. Today we're tackling a topic that's heavy, but also incredibly important. And since January is Mental Wellness Month, we're going to be talking about depression. Today's episode is all about finding your way to fight back. We are calling this one Unbreakable, Beating Depression on Your Terms. Because no one's journey is the same. What works for one person may not work for the other, and that's okay. I'm Jess.
I'm Liz.
And I'm Val. So let's first start out and say how important it is to even recognize the signs and symptoms of depression.
100%.
So we're going to just dive right into it.
And I'm about to dive in.
Am I stopping or do we keep going?
It wouldn't be our podcast if we didn't laugh. So just bear with it. I know this is a very, it's a heavy issue. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Listen, I just want to preface this with all for all of our listeners listening. I suffer with bad anxiety and depression, and we are all fucked up right now in this episode because it took me 30 minutes just to record the intro, which still sounds like shit, so I do apologize. Bum is to get it out there, okay? So even though this is a very important topic, we still do have our moments where we're dealing with our own shit, so we just have to laugh about it a little bit.
Yeah, laughing is a type of medicine.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Nope. Like we said that in the sneak peek, so this is what you're getting.
We are unhinged and fucked up.
100%. All right, let's get serious for a second. My bad. All right, so number one, a depressed mood. Most of the day, nearly every day, you're feeling sad, you're empty, and you're hopeless. Now in children and adolescents, it does kind of look like they can have an irritable mood. So that's something to watch out for as well. Number two is a markedly diminished interest or pleasure in all or most of activities, most of the day, nearly every day. Number three, significant weight loss, whether you're not dieting, weight gain or decrease or increase in appetite nearly every day. In children, it does consider, depression if there's failure to make expected weight gains. Number four is insomnia and hypersomnia. So hypersomnia would be you're sleeping too much, obviously insomnia not enough. Number five, you have psychomotor agitation. So nearly every day you're appearing either restless or you're slowed down. Number six, fatigue or loss of energy nearly every day. Number seven, feelings of worthlessness or excessive / inappropriate guilt nearly every day. Number eight, diminished ability to think or concentrate or indecisiveness nearly every day. And number nine, recurrent thoughts of death, suicidal ideation without a specific plan or suicide attempt or specific plan for committing suicide. Now, obviously, trigger warning. This is a part of the episode that we're going to have to make aware of people's triggers. So, and we'll go more into that and how to help people. So I think these are very, very straightforward signs and symptoms of depression.
I agree with that. But I do want to say one thing. Coming from someone that does deal with depression, I think those are great signs and symptoms for people looking on the outside at someone with it. Correct. For sure. But how do we be more self-aware of our own? And I think that's for at least my part of the issue, because there's times where I am going into my depression slope and I don't realize I'm going into that depression because mm-hmm. I don't feel any different in that moment in the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of self-awareness to me go, oh, wait a minute. Am I dealing with depression? Because mm-hmm. it's little things that just start to happen. Like I start getting where I'm struggling, wanting to, you know, go and shower every single day. And I'm noticing I'm not taking care of myself properly, or I'm not wanting to do many things. But that's also sometimes just burnout for me as well. So it's hard sometimes.
Burnout is a trigger for depression, though.
Absolutely. And I wholeheartedly can see that, especially when you deal with it. But in the same aspect, not always do I correlate that's what's going on.
Right. Now, I do want to point out that these are the clinical symptoms.
Right. Okay.
This is how you get diagnosed with.
Okay.
So that if you were going in and you're getting diagnosed, they're like, okay, well, are you feeling hopeless? Are you feeling restless? Are you feeling agitated? Right. Are you feeling irritable? You know, just not like yourself. You're not enjoying anything anymore that you used to. Mm-hmm. So these are clinical symptoms. Now, along with that is a broader view of what you're explaining. Okay. So you can't put in, do you get up and not feel like you want to shower? That is a part of depression.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so they're not going to put that in there. So I just do want to preface that. So if anyone's confused, these are the clinical symptoms that you get diagnosed with depression.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'd also like to preface this by saying, like, depression is not textbook. Like, everybody goes through depression in different ways. Mm-hmm. It's not always black and white. Like, there are so many gray areas in it. It's not even funny. For me, personally, I notice it when I start to recluse from everybody. Mm-hmm. When I start pulling back and I'm not as talkative, or I'm not laughing at things certain ways, or if I just want to be off by myself, put my headphones in and just calling it a day. I'm like, peace out. That's when I know. And I go, I'll sit there and go, wait a second. Where is everybody?
Oh, yeah.
And it's my doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Not anything anybody else is doing. It's my doing 100%. And I notice I get funky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in a funk. And that's what I call it. I've said it to you guys. I don't know how many times. I'm just in a funk right now.
Yeah. And I get that because I do the same thing. I think for me, I'm not so like where I try to recluse the extent that you do, but mm-hmm. I do recluse. And it's normally from anybody that's not directly in front of me.
Correct.
That's mine. That I know for a fact I do that. Where people will start calling and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to answer the phone. I don't want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do anything. I just want to fucking lay in bed.
How many months straightforward did I have my phone on Do Not Disturb?
Yeah.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And we were going, is Valerie okay?
No.
Like, what's going on with her?
You know? I really genuinely in that moment thought that I was okay until I got out of it, until I got out of the depression and going, oh shit, I was depressed.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's hard. It takes you having like a quote unquote out of body experience
mm-hmm.
and looking from the outside and going, well, fuck.
Or even sometimes just once you get out of a certain situation and looking back at something as well and going, wow, didn't realize I was depressed, but now realizing it, looking now, I mean, going,
you are pressed.
I am pressed. Very precious, but you know. So.
This is not a laughing matter, guys. This is also, okay, we'll talk about this part in a minute, but coping, fuck, oh, yeah. Man.
Comedy is my coping.
Yeah, 100%. Seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all that's not us. Like watching comedy shows.
No,
it's
no,
like
no.
Me having to be comical. That's
and like self-deprecation, like
talking so much shit about ourselves.
Oh, seriously,
yeah.
That's how I said self-defecation, and I was like,
I mean,
if that's your thing, it's not really mine.
Two girls, one cup type situation.
I'm out. All right, so just as much as there is signs of what depression looks like, would anybody have anything to add that would be signs that people like misinterpret as what depression could be?
Actually, I was, because listen, I look for this shit all fucking day, and I'm like, how would somebody know that cares about me, like, know that I'm not myself if they're not around me and they're not seeing me in everyday life? Right. My family would be that huge part, you know what I mean? And my mom actually texted me the other day and she's like, you know, we haven't really heard from you since Thanksgiving.
Mm.
Like, what's going on with you? Are you okay? And I was like, oh, you know, I'm just going through the motions, mom. I don't know what you want me to tell you. She's like, yeah, but you usually check in at least once a week.
And you haven't been.
And I haven't been. And I had to sit there and go, huh.
Mm.
Well, there's that. You don't recognize your own things sometimes unless somebody else is pointing it out to you for you to go,
oh yeah,
light bulb. But I also feel like that can lead us into what some of the common myths and misconceptions are mm-hmm. with having depression, or what signs of depression are.
Yep.
Like, oh, depression's just sadness.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's rage. It's
irritability.
Irritability.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There is sadness incorporated in there. It's anxiety. I mean, there's so many factors in depression.
Heavy on the anxiety.
Heavy on the anxiety. There's other people, like a lot of the baby boomers, and you know, I sorry if anybody's listening. Oh, you can just snap out of it. It's not how that works.
That takes work.
It takes a lot of work, and there are people that snap in and out of depression, and I commend them. I wish that I could have a quarter of the strength.
But I also, as someone who can snap out of depression, a lot of my depression is situational.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have clinically diagnosed depression. I have clinically diagnosed anxiety, which sometimes can put me into a dep- depression from overthinking with my anxiety. Mm-hmm. Okay. But mine's mainly situational. Mm-hmm. So I can snap out of it, as people say. However, also Wellbutrin, we love you. Okay. That also fucking helps. So it's not as easy for people who have diagnosed depression.
Right. I see. I'm clinically diagnosed with depression and anxiety. Now, I will say, though, there are times that I'm having situational depression or seasonal depression, and I can sometimes snap out of those ones. But if I'm just having my good old-fashioned depression, no, there's nothing that pulls me out of it, and unless, like, that I can just do to just snap out of it. I shouldn't say there's nothing I can do, but outside of taking the steps to work towards it, those ones, that's not just an easy 1, 2, 3 fix type mm-hmm. thing.
Well, and then, like, back on your Wellbutrin, because Lexapro, you're garbage and we like Wellbutrin better. antidepressants are cop-outs. I'd like to say fuck off, because they help me when I actually take them.
It's crazy.
Because I don't like to take them, because I'm not a pill taker. But, you know, here we are.
However, let's talk about that for a second.
Oh,
let's talk about that for a second. See, I'm the
exact opposite. I don't take anything for either of them.
I know you don't.
And I don't feel like it's a cop-out for people.
I don't think it's a cop-out. I think it's there to help aid
right.
to get you to where you need to be. And if you want to get off of it,
right.
it helps you get to that point.
Sure.
That I understand, because I feel going one extreme to the other is tough.
Right. And please understand, because I'm no doctor for any of this, and I'm not trying to say don't take medication or do take medication. All I'm saying, for me personally, especially in now, certain depression, I 100% believe needs medication. Right. But depending on the situation, a lot of times I feel like medicine can also just be a Band-Aid mm-hmm. for yep. people not to deal with the issues at hand.
Correct.
And I feel like, injunction to taking medication, if you're going to take medication, that you also need to be following it up with therapy or coping mechanisms or anything else, because the day you run out of medication and that's out of your system, when you don't get another dose or whatever the situation is, you mm-hmm. end up 10 times worse off than beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a firm believer in therapy and coping mechanisms and finding ways to deal with it, because that medication, as though it's great, a Band-Aid is only there as such.
So let me expand on that.
Okay.
To further your point.
Okay.
When I first started taking Wellbutrin, I saw no way out. I was mm-hmm. super, obviously my phone was on Do Not Disturb. I was isolating myself from you guys and everyone else around me. I wouldn't talk to anyone at work. I wouldn't go out anywhere. I was not doing a damn thing for myself. I started getting on Wellbutrin. I started noticing, okay, well, I'm more engaging. I'm talking to people more. I'm answering my phone. My phone hasn't been on Do Not Disturb. Okay. So I feel like my brain has slowed down enough that I'm starting to work towards bettering myself and not just using the medication. I'm doing better for my body. I'm taking more vitamins and supplements.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading self-help books to try to acknowledge where my issues are coming from, to kind of help myself instead of going to therapy right now, because I do have a therapist. We love her. We love you, Christine. You know, but I feel like I'm trying to take the steps in addition to that medication, because eventually I want to be off of it. So while yes, I do believe in what you're saying, and I can absolutely understand your point of saying that it's a Band-Aid, sometimes that Band-Aid helps heal the skin underneath so I can get forward. You know what I mean?
And 100%, I do agree with that. I'm not, and again, that's why I said starting off of like kind of like giving that warning of like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying don't take medication. I'm not saying do take it. I'm just saying you do what works best for you in that Agreed. Aspect. But if you feel you need it, then 100%. If that helps you heal, then I'm 100% a supporter of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, no, I totally that was the point that I was making. That's all.
Well, and like, there's also the point that, and I've heard it my entire life because I've been a big girl my entire fucking life. And I've had depression pretty much my entire life. But you hear, if you just, you need to exercise and you need to eat better.
Mm.
That's great for you, Tom. Okay. Let's just talk about, it's not something that can be cured by, you know, kale and push-ups.
Kale and push-ups. Like, I like that.
I just like, yeah, endorphins are released when you exercise and you do certain things and you have better mind wellness and everything else. Like, I don't even know what to fucking say right now, because I'm like, I get so irritated when people try to bring that into the whole effect. Well, yes, going for a walk clears my head and it allows me to think better and have better thoughts coming in. And it releases, like I said, the endorphins that make everything just go. I'm still going to be depressed at the end of the fucking day.
Do I know also why? It's because when you're like just moving your body like that, you're bringing consciousness into that moment.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I could see that. But when people base it off of, oh, just go to the gym and, you know, let's go over there for 5 fucking hours a day and then eat your kale and your fucking pita and your hummus, wrap it all up and just shove it down your throat and that'll just make you happy. No, the fuck it doesn't. No, the fuck it doesn't. You go over there and do your fucking bendy Barbie shit by yourself.
Bendy Barbie.
This is no offense to anybody that looks like Barbie or does bendy Barbie shit.
I do want to like backtrack just for a second and go off the fact that, again, as we stated in the beginning of this, is that it's not all one track for every single person. That Correct. Might work for one. It just doesn't work for all.
Right. Absolutely. And I stand by what the fuck I said.
Ten toe down on minis.
Oh, God. And we can segue into that by saying, like, if someone seems happy, they can't be depressed. I still laugh at fucking everything. I mean, there are times where I'm like, not today.
Not I don't know if you've ever, and I know we all have seen them, actually, the videos that you can see on Facebook of, like, even like Robin Williams mm-hmm. and Chester Bennington and in all, is it Bennington?
Bennington.
Yeah, Bennington. And there's other ones that are out there, or even I've seen the videos where people like, this is my husband 2 days before he committed suicide, right. Or this is, you know, my daughter the night she committed suicide, mm-hmm. or whatever the situation is, and people are laughing and smiling. I hate that misconception yep. of people thinking, oh, well, just because you're laughing and smiling, that you don't know what someone's dealing with on the inside.
They have right. no fucking idea.
No idea. None like, whatsoever.
And who the fuck are you to pass judgment on anybody
yeah. mm-hmm.
for how they deal with or cope with their life and their feelings and their everything?
Absolutely.
Because I feel like they're also hanging on so hard. That's why they do smile, because they're hanging on to every good moment. Absolutely. And they're really cherishing every single good moment that they have, because it's mostly bad for them.
And I feel like that also segues into what you were talking about there. It also goes into people think that people don't have depression, that joke about depression.
Right. And I know for a fact all three of us have joked about depression.
Oh, 100%.
At least 10 times a day.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw myself down the stairs. Just kidding. Not going to really do it, guys, but almost if I do. You know what I mean? Like, or whoops, what if I just took it right in the jugular real quick? It would be fine. It'd be fine.
I
mean,
I think that's a little morbid and dark joking. I've yeah. already joked about I mean, it. I don't know if it's so much for on air.
But I work with someone, honest. I work with someone who's like that.
Yeah.
And it's, I have to walk away because I'm like, you need help. Like, I've tried to talk to this kid. But every time he comes in, I'm like, how are you? He's like, well, I didn't throw myself in traffic today.
Like, I feel that.
No.
As we all go.
Right, right. I know. No, but it's like, it's dark humor like that constantly at work. And it's hard to listen to.
Well, also, let's preface this by saying that we work in the medical field. And 99.9% of people that work in the medical field, A, have depression. And then B, have dark humor to cope with said depression and all the shit they see on a daily basis.
It's true.
That's part of burnout, too.
It's,
it's 100% burnout.
Okay, we'll sprinkle that in there like salt. But
I know.
Anybody that doesn't work in the medical field, I think the one thing that people don't realize is, even if it's not so much labor intensive all the time,
mm-hmm. it is mentally
draining.
Absolutely.
To such a high extent.
Mm-hmm.
High extent. I hated that shit.
I look back 5 years ago, you know, before mm-hmm. I became even a nurse, and I'm like, who was she? Because I miss her, you know? I was so bubbly. I mean, I'm still bubbly, but I'm like, I was not this.
You're tainted at
I'm
this
very
point.
Tainted, and it's sad because I lost a lot of my spark working in healthcare because that shit fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But also you like helping people.
I love helping people. I just don't like the toxic around it.
Oh, yeah. It's there's a lot there, but mm-hmm. that's another subject for another day.
Yes. I love my patients. So anyone who wants to sit here and talk shit, I should be out of nursing. No, because if anyone who knows me, I am the biggest patient advocate. So don't even go there. Don't even fucking try.
All right, moving along. So moving on.
Moving on.
Why don't we talk about some coping mechanisms?
Ooh.
Or things that have worked for us.
Absolutely. So I would say the number one for me has always been focusing on basic self-care. Nutrition. And I mean that not in like the way
go fuck your kale chips, okay?
No, but I just mean when I eat like shit, A lot of times, I feel like shit.
Absolutely. Yep.
And I notice when I'm depressed, I go on the benders of like ice cream and pop and fucking chocolate and whatever the fuck else.
From up north, it's not pop. It's soda.
No, it's pop. Okay, y'all buddy. Can fuck off.
All right.
Okay. Anybody here from Chicago will tell you it's pop. All right.
Okay. Simple well, as anyone who's not from Chicago says the right thing is soda.
Either way. Okay. But it when I start, like, I notice like when I'm good. I'm eating a little bit healthier, making healthier choices.
Yep.
Not so much like, oh, I got to eat kale and fucking cottage cheese 24/7, but I still make healthier choices. I also sleep better and working on sleeping as well. I think that's a big one.
That's a huge one for you.
Especially for me, because I do go from where I sleep too much or sleep not at all. I'll sleep for 2-3 days and then get back into the swing of like, I'm only sleeping for 2 hours every 2-3 days. And that's the hard part. And another one is, I think, hydration. I have a really hard time with that. When I'm depressed, I don't touch a glass of water. It's like, I feel like a camel.
How many times have I asked you, wait, how much water have you drank today? And she'll just kind of look at me and look down at the ground and turn around and walk away.
And then she'll be like, when's the last time you had water? And I'll be like, three Sundays ago.
Around noon.
From last year.
No, for real.
I'm bad about it. I'm fucking bad about it. Getting up and showering, washing your hair, fucking putting some makeup on, doing whatever. Even when I don't feel like it, sometimes I have to force myself to go make myself feel human.
Listen, you know when I'm going through it, my hair's not done at all.
You know when I'm going through it, when you look at my legs and it looks like Sasquatch just shit all over my legs. Okay.
I think we talked about that on the first episode.
Yeah. That is number one sign that I've been dealing with depression is when I don't shave. Because my armpits will look like I just joined the feminist movement and it's full blown. I'm off in left field.
Jesus Christ. Not this.
We're not on TV, so it's okay. I was actually making the movement of just saying like I was going forward into the feminist movement.
Distance.
Not this, you know, not that, but anyways. And what's another one? I mean, realistically, we can get off of my let's go. Keep moving.
Oh god. I do music therapy.
Oh yes,
I'm a fucking music.
Both are very musicky,
but you're in it too. You're huge on music. Maybe not as much as we are, but yes. you have like I've listened to your fucking playlist on Apple.
Yes, they're pretty good.
We're all on Apple. We all have really good playlists. You should go follow.
I would just like to pick out that I am the biggest music junkie here because I have the most minutes.
That's true. Absolutely, she is. She is. But like, I notice my choice in music.
Oh yeah.
And then that will fuel whatever mood I'm trying to be in or whatever mood I'm currently in. You know what I mean? And I notice when I start listening to music more, if I walk around the house and I have my headphones in and everybody else is around and they're talking to me and I'm like, what?
What the fuck are you saying? Leave me alone.
I can't hear you. They're like, got it. Great.
Heard. All right. Understood.
I would like to say one thing going off the music for a moment, because I know I do it and I am the worst at being self-aware of this.
Ooh.
Until hand. And that is when you are depressed and you know you're depressed, stop listening to fucking depressing music. Oh, and I only, so good. I know, believe you me, I have 14 depression playlists.
Oh, okay? No, I know. I follow everyone.
And I will tell you, I will listen to the same song on repeat over and over and over and over again because it's fueling my depression, feeling it's like a comfort.
I almost called you out right then and there, which ones it was.
Oh, yeah, I know you did. But it's comfort mixed with I don't know, just like the safe place to sit, right, and be in it, but also like in the moment I think it's making me feel better, but it's really not.
It's like it got worse. To the point a few times where you would start playing the music and you were just playing it for fun, but you would start to play the music
and everybody would stop.
All of us would just stop and turn around and look at her and go, are you okay?
Yep.
And she'd go, yeah, I'm fine, what the fuck's wrong with you? Oh, I was just checking. I was just making sure. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, my biggest one is Alice in Chains' Nutshell. If that song comes on, it's such a big issue because everybody will be like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, really, it's my favorite song. So it's fine.
Really?
Yep. So what's another coping mechanism that works?
I read.
Yes, you do.
I do. I read. Well, I either listen to the books or I actually read the books. So if I listen to them on Audible and I'm like, I really need that book. I listen and read a lot of self-help books. I don't like to read a lot of fiction because I'm a very practical person, right? So I need things that are going to tell me, this is your pattern. Here's how you change it. Here's how it helps. So reading really helps me do that. So I go a lot of introspective work when I do that. And I do a lot of journaling with that, and I take a lot of notes. So doing that really helps me kind of acknowledge what I'm going through.
So you practice emotional awareness through it, basically.
Very much so. I'm very, like, I am very self-aware. I'm very, very self-aware of the patterns, the thought patterns that I have. I used to not be as aware, but because I've been going through a lot in the past 5 years, I've learned to become very self-aware.
Would there be any advice you could give that could help someone become more self-aware? Because I know for me, I personally struggle with being self-aware during depression only.
That's a loaded question.
Okay.
Because I feel when I'm starting to notice that I'm going through, okay, I know who I am as a person when I'm not depressed.
Okay.
Okay, which is bubbly, outgoing, talkative. I'm more engaged at work. I'm more engaged at home. I like to go out and do things. I like to go for drives. I like to go to the beach. And when I start to see myself not doing as many of those things, not picking up the phone calls, that's when I go, hello, something's wrong immediately. So in times like when you're going through your things and you're like, hey, my legs haven't been shaved in like a week. You know what I mean? Like that would be something that I would automatically do. Now, in that being said, being emotionally also aware, I go, okay, what's triggering that? And then I go, okay, well, I'm eating like shit. I'm overreacting to situations. I'm being hypervigilant on things. I'm overanalyzing things. I'm spacing out a lot more. What is doing that? Who is doing that? What do I need to check in with myself?
Right.
So I do a lot of emotional check-ins, or I try to at least. And I think reading those books have also helped me become aware of that and patterns.
I think that's really good advice. I know I personally would like to work on being more self-aware when I'm heading into my depression, because I feel like I am so self-aware of everything else and everyone else. And even on myself, I'm self-aware of how I'm saying things, what I'm doing, how I'm reacting. But when it comes to depression, it's almost like the blinders go on for mm-hmm. just a little bit. And I wish I could be more reactive in those moments when I'm seeing that I actually am dealing with some depression, that it's starting. I just wish there was like I had a little red light, like a little, what is it, check engine light that popped. Mm-hmm. I was like, bitch, you're dealing with some depression.
Okay? Well, yeah, but here's the thing. If you're going through and you're always worried about everyone else and you're taking care of everyone else and their emotions and you're coming upstairs and you just, I need to be left alone. Don't touch me. Da-da-da-da. That would be a moment that I would check in with myself.
What, but see, I'm in that all the time. That's the problem.
Yeah, but it gets a little bit worse when you get depressed.
Yeah, it does.
So what I would suggest for you is doing those mental check-ins every night. Is there something going on that I need to address? Do I feel a little bit more burnt out? Do I feel the need to get a little bit more space from everyone? Do I feel the need to head in the shower for 2 hours and listen to music to be away from everyone? Am I feeling that burnout that would lead to a depression? So I think that would be an important thing to realize and recognize. That's what I would suggest.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think another thing that could also be used as a, I don't know, so much a coping mechanism or just something that could also help in practicing emotional awareness is just giving gratitude to yourself and listing 3 things that you're grateful for that day, or whatever the situation is, to kind of put some positive light back into it. Because I know a lot of times when I'm in a dark spot, I have a hard time seeing the positive in that moment. And maybe if we just remind ourselves of the positives that are there, that could also help a little
bit. What would we say?
I think there's a few different things I guess we could go off of with that. It meant we're alive, we're healthy, we have a roof over our head, we got a good job, or, you know, we have family that loves us. I think there's many different positive things that we can say to ourselves to kind of help us realize where we're at. Hey, you've survived 100% of your worst days.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different ways to go with that, I guess.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to have this as a platform to help others.
Right.
Like, I, that's huge. Yeah. That's huge. I'm grateful that I have the mental ability to change my situation,
yeah,
to do better. There's a lot of things that you can be grateful for, even small ones.
Absolutely.
I woke up today, brother.
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 Hey, brother.
Tuesday.
I think another thing that's important for coping is remembering that you have a support system.
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody somewhere, whether it's family, friends, the person that you meet at the supermarket, they're going to keep checking in with you, or they're going to walk by and be like, this person's not okay. Let's go and talk to them. And you have to lean on people. Like, you have to be vulnerable. Excuse me. I can't even fucking talk, but like, you have to be vulnerable, which is a hard thing for me, but it's something that has to be done. Like you have to be able to lean on others. And I'm not saying go trauma dump on all your friends and your family. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Even though we do that to each other all the time.
I mean, shit, we're doing it with you guys right now.
It's true. It's true.
But you don't have to trauma dump to just be like, this is what's going through my head right now. Or this is how I'm feeling. Or this is what I did today. I know it's not much, but here it is.
It's exhausting sometimes when you're in that mode. And physical presence is huge.
Yep. You don't have to check in on me. You can just be in the same room with me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say a fucking word. Mm-hmm. Just sitting there, knowing that you're in my presence. That's huge.
Hey, I love you. I brought you coffee.
Right. Coffee is my real language.
How many times has people done that for me? You guys know you have a million times. And yeah. You know what? I think the biggest thing is when I'm struggling with depression, you guys are right. I don't want to talk about it in that moment. I don't want to sit and feel that pressure to have to explain to you why I'm feeling that way. Because when you ask that question, hey, are you okay? I feel guilty to be like, nope, still not okay today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But to sit down with someone and just have them come and be like, hey, you know what? Let's just watch a movie.
Right.
Or hey, you want to go for a walk? Or hey, let's just do our nails or whatever. And we don't even have to talk. Just having someone in the presence just helps.
It's so powerful because I feel like you can get out of it quicker when you're just in that presence and doing something else to get your mind off of whatever ruminating thoughts are going on in there.
Yeah, that is a good word.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Thank you. Rumination is a huge thing in depression. Learned it.
Live it, learn it, love it.
Love it.
I think another big important part of when connecting with others is also setting boundaries.
Yes.
And avoiding toxic and draining relationships and friendships and familyships, whatever you want to call it, because that can just cause more depression.
Hey.
100%. It might actually worsen your symptoms that you're experiencing in that moment.
Were we not just talking about this earlier?
No, we sure were. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, the hardest lesson and the biggest lesson you have to learn is not everybody has the same heart as you. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to see everything from the same perspective or point of view or anything that you do. So something that's depressing to you may not be depressing to them, and they may just laugh it off and be like, oh, well, just get the fuck over it. Okay, well, you can see yourself out the door and fuck all the way off.
Facts.
So, I mean, that's something that me personally, I've learned how to start saying like, nope, you no longer have access to me. You can get the fuck out.
Yeah,
because before I didn't. I was just like, oh, you hate me? I love you.
I know. It's hard, dude.
It is.
It's hard.
It's 100% hard. But I will say another really good coping mechanism that I actually enjoy doing is finding hobbies. Finding things that you can do to get you out of it.
You're I know painting.
I was just going to say painting. That we love painting.
You know why I love painting? Because I'm just going to preface this with, I am not a good painter. Okay. No,
she really is though. No, everybody really that's not. Listening. She is.
Yeah. If you like kindergarten artwork.
It's okay? Not kindergarten artwork.
It's not.
I'm not an artist by any means. Okay. I just enjoy doing it because even if it looks like shit, it's the fact that when I just start painting, my whole brain goes quiet. It's when you find a hobby that you can do that you just enjoy, whether it be sewing or knitting or crocheting or beadwork or whatever the fuck it is, painting. I mean, it doesn't matter. Drawing, whatever you enjoy. When you find something like that, it literally just shuts your brain off in that moment because sometimes that's all we need when we're depressed is just for our brain to go and just shut the fuck up for that moment. Mm-hmm. Because the brain is your worst enemy when you are depressed.
That's absolutely right.
And how many times have I told you, and even you have said it in my moments of depression or my manic episodes or whatnot, when I'm in one of those episodes, as much as I love music, I also love to sing. Not very well, but I still love to sing.
You're a good singer.
No. When I start singing again, that's when I notice that I'm coming out of it and I'm starting to feel somewhat okay. And she's said it before too. She's like, oh, you're singing again. Okay, all right, so we're going down the good road.
We love this We love this for you.
Like she said that to me I don't know how many times, you know what I mean? So I that's something for me, because I'm not an artist by any means. I hate painting. I don't draw. I can do Sudoku.
I love Sudoku.
I used to love that shit. Crossword, that can quiet down your brain.
Puzzles. Yeah, crossword puzzles, word searches,
yeah,
coloring. I'll color all day, but it has to be something that's already drawn out.
That's fine.
with colored pencils or markers. No fucking crowns here, thanks.
I tried to paint like
for crowns. She does mean crayons. She just
it's crowns.
It's yeah, like you put them on top of your head.
Yep.
Yeah, but you I are also
royal
say,
with it.
I say crayon. It's a crayon.
It's crowns.
It's a crayon.
Crayon, crayon, crown.
Okay, both of you can Crayola. Fuck all the way off with your pop. Your pop.
Yeah, pop. Soda pop. Soda.
Anyways, I just feel like we're completely getting off track here.
Yes, we are.
So let's do this. Here is another thing that would be important. And I guess in a sense, it would be a coping mechanism, but ones to avoid. And that is harmful ones. One of the biggest ones I see a lot of people do that deal with depression is alcohol and drugs. Like in the moment, we think that they're a temporary relief, but they're actually going to just worsen the depression over time and cause addictions in the future. Mm-hmm. So I think that that would be a big one for me is, I mean, just, I guess because it runs in my family and I see it around me a lot is alcohol abuse and drug abuse.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So
it's sad to see people who I've been close to, very, very close to, go down that road with addiction, with drugs and alcohol. And thinking that it was numbing all of the things that they were feeling and suppressing them when they would get off of the drugs or come off of the high, I meant, from the drugs and the hangover that next day and feel like complete fucking shit. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because it's really they're fighting to try to get out of it. And I've physically seen this and tried to console people who are going through this. Of going through that drug addiction and that alcohol addiction fiercely and just crying and going through all these different episodes because they were depressed and they just want to numb those feelings. So if you are someone dealing with addiction and depression at the same time, we will give you the tools and resources at the end of this episode for you to reach out because it is not a that is not something that someone needs to go through.
No,
at all.
Especially it's alone.
It's terrible to fucking watch.
Anyways, real quickly, because I know you do want to bring up some check-in ideas for your mental health. There is one other thing I do want to go over and I think is so important. I think always kind of looked over and that is creating a routine for yourself. Mm-hmm. I know for me, just starting my day with one intentional act, like making my bed in the morning, going and brushing my teeth or doing something that kind of like starts the day can also be very helpful as well.
Mine is taking my vitamins and drinking my green tea. That's my one intentional act to make myself good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before I leave for work.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. All right. So what are some mental health check-ins that we can do?
Okay. So we have a couple different ideas. We have a body scan exercise. So this is an exercise that you can do throughout the day. Like take a minute or two. It doesn't have to be something huge. So you're going to go and go, how are my shoulders positioned? Am I, you know, are my shoulders up to my ears or am I relaxed? Is my jaw clenched or is it relaxed? Starting there is very huge for that. So I've noticed that I get very tense at work through a lot of situations and I can do that and I just relax my shoulders. I drop my shoulders. I unclench my jaw and then I go, okay. How is my God bless.
I don't know what just happened. You totally like got the tism there.
For I did. I 100% did. Sorry about that. Anyway, so I also make sure that I'm paying attention to my breathing. Yeah, how is my breathing? Is it fast? Is it slow? Do I need to take deep breaths? And usually in that moment, the answer is yes. So I've learned how to do circular breathing or square breathing. So you go, I know she's looking at me with eyebrows. So I'm going to teach like you into a lesson.
How do you square breathe?
Watch. Okay. So you're going to.
I'm making the points of the square. Sorry.
You're going to picture a square and you're going to start at the bottom left-hand corner. You're going to for four. And as you're breathing, you're going to the top left-hand corner of that square. And then you're going to exhale for four. And then you're going to make it to the other side of that square. And you're going to breathe in for four until you make it to the top right of that square. And then you're going to breathe out for four and make it to the bottom. So literally it's a square breath. And that kind of brings you back into that present moment.
Okay.
So
I can get down with it.
Right? No, really. In times when you're anxious or you're just trying to fucking check in with yourself and where you're at right now, it brings you back to like, here I am. And also what I do as a little side to my patients, because where I work, my patients come in very anxious and rightfully so for what I do. So when they're in there and I see that there are some patients go into full-blown panic attacks, mm-hmm. and I have learned through Christine, my therapist, the 5-4-3-2-1 method.
Yes.
That is very important to do. So if anyone doesn't know what the 5-4-3-2-1 method, 5 things that you see, 4 things that you hear, 3 things that you can touch, 2 things that you can smell, and 1 thing that you can taste. So it brings, that's also a very grounding experience. That's what it is. It's for grounding, to bring you back into that moment. So also doing that as a body exercise is super important as well. So another side little one that you can do, this one's kind of cheesy, but.
Ooh, I like cheesy. Like Swiss cheese or what? Like,
you're lactose intolerant.
Don't bitch, I still eat cheese. I don't give a fuck.
I know. She'd be farting too.
Yeah. Oof. She made me gassy.
Girl, bye.
But I love cheese.
That stink wriggle stinking.
Ew. That's a little too far. I almost said what I'm not allowed to say on this show, okay?
Bitch.
Yep, bitch. Anyways, we're missing the point, guys. Sorry.
Missing the point. Okay, so emotional weather reports. So you can use a metaphor. If your mood were the weather right now, what would it be?
I'm a meteorologist.
Overcast.
I'm definitely a side of rainbow Skittles. I don't know.
What? I would eat those with you.
Oh.
Can't. I just fucking can't, okay? Anyways,
the look I got.
Yeah. Okay. So the emotional weather report is what now? I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, whew. All right. I'm going to get back to serious. Okay.
Fine.
So what is my weather?
What is your emotional chilly weather?
With a side of meatballs. It's a movie. Anyways,
I know it is.
It's cloudy.
Chilly. But it's chilly outside. So I'm going with chilly. I'm cool. That's what I am. No, I'm just kidding. I really don't
know. You are.
I don't know. I meant. Cloudy skies sometimes, I guess. I don't right now though, like in this moment.
Right now.
Oh, it's blue skies and chilly out.
I love that. Oh, that's a good day.
That is a good day.
Yeah,
it's a
mine,
perfect day. It's a sweater weather day.
Sweater weather. I think mine would be I would be probably a good 65 degrees with blue skies, but I would have some like wispy clouds, but not the clouds that cover the sky, but the clouds that are like you can see through them, blue skies.
Real quickly, hold on. What? Real quickly before we get to mine, because I have to point this out. Has anybody ever seen what's that Sandra Bullock movie where which she's one? Like
the, the window? Miss Congeniality?
No, yes, Miss Congeniality, where she goes, name the perfect date, and the girl goes, April 24th.
Yeah,
because it's not too hot and not too cold. It's just right. All right, Goldilocks. I got it.
65 with some wispy clouds, a little wind about 4 degrees to the left. Yes. You are detailed like a motherfucker. I appreciate it, though. I appreciate your details.
Yes, because I literally am just pointing out so people know exactly what my weather is.
My leaves would be red, orange, and yellow.
No, I was actually going to say
falling no. gently from the sky.
No.
There's smells of apples and cinnamon in the air.
That would be fantastic.
Like an antique shop with potpourri.
Oh, antique
shop. Minus the mothballs.
Yeah. No. Take out the mothballs.
I can't do antique shops. No. My favorite winter tree is the bald trees. Like, you know the birch trees up north? Have you ever seen birch trees?
Bald? Hold on.
Bald trees. Yeah. How would you call trees with no leaves?
I meant we're just going to go bald from now on.
What would you call it before that?
A bear tree? I don't know. I like bald, though. I think it's very fitting. Okay, a bald tree. He's tatted. Yeah, 6'7"
with a dad bod.
Oh, I like bald. That's good. That's good. No.
Like a bald tree.
And you keep saying it.
She's hoping if she just keeps saying it, it'll become more widely accepted.
Yeah. So
I like a bald birch tree.
No, I do like a bald birch tree. No,
I like
for
a
real.
Bald oak.
When we start making merch, I'm going to have hashtag bald trees.
Can
it's
we
gonna be bald those? Birch?
We're going to put these in notes right now. And then something about Skittles.
Yeah, Skittles. I would eat that with you.
I'm going to have a shirt that says Slevin 11.
Slevin 11, big gulp.
Okay. The weather one got us, man. Yeah. The weather
okay,
one
so
got us.
So what's yours? I want to hear your what is your weather?
What is your weather?
Right now, today's forecast is normally it's overcast, but like I have, you know, where like sprinkles in the sunlight and you see the beams come down, you're like, "Oh, God's masterpiece." And it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me. Okay. Like I see, like, I have like the overcast and then I get like the little holes in there where I'm like, oh, let's be laughing and happy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Cause I, as much as I don't look like I love to laugh, cause I know I have RBF like a motherfucker.
Terrible.
The worst RBF you'd ever
seen. Like legit. It's uncomfortable.
I love to fucking laugh. Okay. Like I love to laugh to the point where I'm about to pee myself. Okay. And with you guys, I don't know if you guys have noticed on this episode or not, but I cope with my depression by laughter
yes.
and dark humor and other things like that. So
speaking I'll of, be the one to pee for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Shit. She took it from me. I was totally going to call her ass out. She just stole it. She M&M'd me. She told the fucking dirt before I got a chance to call her out on it.
Cleaning out my closet, baby.
I was just about to be like, when you're like, I like to pee, almost pee my pants. I was like, or spoiler alert, she pisses her pants during the episodes. This one over here.
We have to get you a chuck and just lay it down underneath you.
I know.
Or I was just going to get her one of those little shiwis and like a little 2 liter bottle.
Shiwi.
Oh, stop.
We're going to get her a Pure Wick. We'll just do that and just like hook it up to a suction.
I love a good old cooter canoe.
Cooter. Douche canoes, if you will.
Douche canoes. I've had a couple of those in there.
Hey.
Oh.
Those are so bad for your pH.
I know.
All right. We're off subject.
Yes. We are. Okay. Anyways, we're back on. Back right. on. So what? So we did the weather. What's some other ones you got for us?
I love her ray of sunshine. I just want to point that out. We can journal. Journal is very important.
I hate writing.
Okay.
But like, fair. I'm not downing that for anybody else that does it.
Okay.
I just hate writing.
Okay. That's fair.
Is it you don't like the actual physical act of having to write something down, or you don't like having to put your feelings down on paper?
I hate having to put my feelings down.
Wow.
I don't know. I just do. I've always been that way. Like, especially in school when they're like, hey, let's write an essay on this subject. I don't want to fucking write an essay. I don't want to fucking do any of that shit. Why do you care about my opinion?
Have you ever, just out of curiosity, because I used to hate writing too, mm-hmm. like the actual physical act of having to sit and write. But I will say something that does help. When I started like journaling for a little bit, I would literally put like all the messiest, shittiest like thoughts and comments and feelings about myself on paper, and then afterwards I would take them and burn them.
I like burning things.
Yeah. And it was I was told actually
I sound like Sid from fucking Toy Story.
Let's yeah, you should it. See her toys. But anyways.
Not those toys, boys no, and girls. No.
But no, like for real, like I was told by a therapist one of the times to literally take and write down my feelings and thoughts, right? Like your deepest, darkest feelings, things that you don't even talk about to anybody else. And you take them and you put them inside like a fire safe style thing, like a fire pit per se. Don't
just throw them on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. And you go ahead and you light them on fire. And as they're burning, you're letting them go.
Also similar is when people write things on plates. A lot of people do it at New Year's. Some people do it at the end of relationships.
Opa.
And you get a little Greek in you, okay? And you write it all down, and you smash the plates and anywhere. I mean, don't do it inside your house, because then you got to clean all that shit up. But, like, go somewhere and just smash the plates, and it helps with aggression. It helps with getting those feelings of anger out, whatever you're feeling at that moment, and then you're destroying the words that you think about yourself.
I love a
rage
that.
Room.
Fuck, yes.
Yes, I like that reaction much better. just give everybody else out there, we had to literally cut and redo that scene because she literally screamed into the microphone. She's like, yes,
I love that.
I do love that idea.
When Valerie gets intense about something, she's for it.
It's okay? Pretty loud.
Yeah, it was yeah. Perfect though. I liked it. I wish it didn't peek her microphones out so I could have just kept it.
Yeah, well, sorry guys. Anyway, you get the fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Oh yeah.
That would
oh,
yeah. be actually really good therapy, I think, for all of us, because I think we could use a little rage room.
Oh yeah.
Like just give me a baseball bat and some fucking TVs and old VCRs and shit. Let's
Dude.
Go. VCRs. Let's fucking
I was just
go.
Gonna say that.
We just showed our age. I mean, I just showed my age at least. I don't give a fuck.
So on a less aggressive note, sometimes with my meditation. I do a guided imagery, which I learned back in 2015 on a, I was watching YouTube about meditation. And in that meditation video, he was telling you to create a space that feels safe for you to release your emotions. So he was kind of walking you through. He didn't tell you what to create. So in my mind, I created a dark brick castle.
Okay.
And it's always at night, and it's on like a waterline. So, whether it's ocean, I don't know, ocean or a big river, whatever the fuck it is. But anyway, so it's really tall, it's circular, and it's dark brick, and it's got this wide stairwell that kind of goes in a spiral motion all the way up to the top. And it's a flat top. So when I get to that top of there, I'm already starting to think about things that bothered me, things that I'm pissed off about, things that I'm sad about.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
So when you are meditating, mm-hmm. are you, like, when you start your meditation, are you starting from the bottom of the castle and walking up? And as you're walking up, you're thinking about these things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. all I want to know.
And then it's a pretty long, in my imagery, it's a pretty long thing. So probably about a couple minutes it takes me to get to the top. And so when I get there, I think about, okay, I'm sad because I feel like I let someone down today. I take that feeling, I put it into these lanterns, and then I light the lantern and I watch it go over the water. And anytime I have a flooding thought, which is super important too, anytime I have a flooding thought, immediately I imagine that lantern. I'm like, nope, send it back.
Right. So it's basically almost in a sense the same way as when you're journaling and you're burning it and letting yep. it go. You're doing the same thing. It's just in more my meditation.
Mind. Yep.
I got that. That mm-hmm. makes sense.
So that helps. Instead of actually physically doing it, I literally go there in my mind. So that actually, that really helps me.
That's awesome, though. I actually really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, those are the things that work for me, work for Jessica, and work for Liz. But if you have any tips, tricks, tools, anything that we didn't speak about that could help us or other people, your co-listeners, your co-friends, please send them our way, because I really think that that's very important that we all share as a community.
Absolutely, because that will help everybody.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. absolutely. And in order to send those in, you can write us at our email, unhingedmemoirs@gmail.com. We are on all major social media platforms, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, even the Snapchat.
Even the Snapchat.
The Snapchat.
And also, if you want to listen to more of these episodes, please remember to like, subscribe, smash that share button on all major podcast platforms. If you don't know where those are by now, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and all of the others. If you find them, we're there, Unhinged Memoirs. But, you know, for now, we'd like to go ahead and just share the National Suicide Prevention Line. Please use this line. Please call in. I know that it sounds stupid, but everybody needs somebody. That number is 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. And that is for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
And I know that I kind of touched on substance abuse and addiction, so I think that it's very important for those people to get help as well. This is for the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration helpline. That number is 1-800-662-4357.
And I also know that as well, I know that we've given both of the numbers. There is another way to do it too as well. If you know someone that is struggling, or if you yourself are struggling, you can actually call from your cell phone or text 988. Or you can even get on the website and chat at 988lifeline.org. It is 100% confidential. It's a free crisis service that is available for everyone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And the texting portion is good, because if you don't feel like talking verbally.
So important.
Yeah. It's sometimes better to text.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So just a big thing that we do want you to remember is it's temporary. Depression, it comes and goes in waves. And mm-hmm. you have to learn to try and cope with those. As hard as it can be, you have to, and maybe come up with a little mantra of this too shall pass.
Yeah, that's and right. You also have to remember that you have already survived 100% of your worst days, and you can keep going.
And we love you, and we see you, we understand you, we validate you. You are heard through us.
Absolutely.
Please take care of yourselves. If you need to reach out, please reach out and utilize all the different outlets that we also gave you if need be. We love you. And until next time, we hope you have a wonderful day. Don't forget to be proud of yourself. Don't forget to be grateful for everything that you have and for the opportunity that you have to wake up in the mornings. Thank you for listening. We love you. So until next time, bye.